Welcome to the C3 Church Camden podcast. For more information about our church, please visit www.c3wc.com. We are so thrilled that you're listening today, and we hope you enjoy the message.
I want to hold these the whole time. My name is Edwina. For those of you who haven't had a chance to meet, I'm one of the location pastors here at C3 Camden. So thanks, Emma. Our lead pastors Rowan and Jill, I've said this a few times this week, they're in Cairns, and I try and say it with a smile on my face, like I'm really happy for them, and I am, but I'm also really jealous that they're there. So I hope they're not watching. I hope that you're having a relax, and if you are watching, watch this and then go and have a bit more of a relax. But we are praying for them and hoping that this is a beautiful time of break for them. It's well deserved. So as I mentioned, we are going through our Prayer of the Bible series. We have this week, and then Desi's going to round off the series next week. It's been a great series of going through and really getting engaged in the different prayers that we have in the Bible. And today I'm going to be looking at a prayer that's not a real life prayer prayed by somebody, like a character in the Bible. It was actually a prayer that was spoken by Jesus when he was giving a parable. When he was telling the people around him, a parable is a story that is given to give kind of a moral or a spiritual meaning. It was always one of those mic drop moments for Jesus when he told a parable. It was like a way of understanding, of opening people's eyes to really get this spiritual lesson that he was trying to give them. So we're going to read the text. It's from Luke chapter 18. So if you've got a Bible on you, if you've got your device on you that's got a Bible on it, I encourage you to get that out, and we're going to read that together. It's from Luke chapter 18, starting at verse 9. It says, "To some who were more confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get.' But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted.'" And that's where Jesus drops the mic and walks away. Because at that moment, it would have been like gasps heard in the crowd. You know, and I love to, the way that I engage with reading the Bible, and I'd really encourage you to do this sometime, is to put yourself in the story, to find out the context around, well, what was happening? What was happening at this time? And I like to kind of put myself in the story and think about what it would have looked like. What would Jesus have been doing? Now, at this point in Luke, Luke was talking, saying lots of different stories of what Jesus was saying to people, but it was on a journey. They were on a journey towards Jerusalem. And along this journey would have been lots of different people that he met along the way. They were heading towards Jerusalem for the Passover festival, which is a Jewish festival. So he would have seen lots of different people, particularly people of the Jewish religion, along the way. But they passed through lots of towns that weren't necessarily Jewish along the way. And I wonder what it was that Jesus saw for him to go, "I'm going to just tell this little story. I feel like people need to kind of get something about the kingdom right now." What was he observing? What was he seeing for him to have told this story? What did he notice about the interaction between people that made him come to this point where he felt like he needed to say this parable? I wonder whether Jesus had observed maybe a lack of humility along the way. You know, this parable is often titled in your Bible, it might be in your Bible, it says the Prayer of Humility. I wonder if he had observed a lack of humility on behalf of some of the people that he was traveling along with who maybe saw themselves as a little bit more spiritually well-to-do, you know, the spiritually well-to-do crowd. I wonder if he had observed a bit of an us and them mentality of like, well, we stick together, but we don't interact with them along the way, even though we're all heading in the same direction. I wonder whether he had seen division between an in crowd and an out crowd. And this division seemed to maybe be on what was deemed socially or morally superior or what was desired to be seen as good. What did he see was playing out in people's hearts? But there was also playing out in people's actions and in their behaviours as they were going along the way. And it's when we start to think about a passage of scripture like this that we can quite easily start to see how it can relate to us in our culture. Because we see this all the time, don't we? We see this all the time. We see this us and them division in culture. Now, I'm not saying it's us versus them. You might find yourself on other, different sides of that. You might feel like sometimes you're the us and sometimes you might feel like you're the them. You sometimes might feel like you're the in and sometimes you might feel like you're the out crowd. Sometimes we can see this, oh, thank goodness I'm not like that person kind of thoughts. And it's even in the culture of the church. Sometimes we can have a bit of I'm recognized by my goodness and the things that I do right. And sometimes we can get caught up in our own ability like that, just like this Pharisee. And it could be super tempting to look at this parable and think Jesus was just making a point about humility. Yes, teaching us how to pray in humility. Maybe by saying, well, don't be full of yourself. Don't put, you need to put yourself down. You need to be at a lower level. Don't put yourself out there. And yes, but also no. You know, in his parable, especially in Luke, but throughout all of the Gospels, Jesus often liked to include very contrasting characters, both of who possess attributes that the culture could really connect to. You know, when we say, we might label a group of people and everyone's like, oh, yeah, we understand what you're getting at. We kind of know what that group of people is meant to look like. Everyone here who was hearing this parable knew what a Pharisee was supposed to look like and what a tax collector was meant to look like. So if we look at this first character, the Pharisee, you know, as a writer, I don't know what his beef was with the Pharisees, but Luke, in particular, in the Bible, liked to draw attention to stories where the Pharisees played the role of the villain. So I always wonder what went on with Luke and the Pharisees, because he liked the stories where the Pharisees were the bad guys. They were always characterized by arrogance and contempt. And the Pharisees often get a pretty bad rap in the Bible and can often be really portrayed as legalistic and hypocritical. But historically, if we look at this movement of Pharisees, a Pharisee was a part of the Jewish religion. It was a movement within the Jewish tradition who were not necessarily legalists trying to earn God's favour, but they were a movement of people who were devoted to God, very devoted to God, who emphasised the importance of obedience to the law as a way of making God's benefits visible to everybody. So kind of saying, if I am obedient to the law and I do the right thing and I show that to everybody, then people will see the benefit of being with God. That people will see the benefit of walking with God. And so being a good, devoted, obedient person showed other people that they were right with God. And at the beginning of this parable, it says that Jesus told it hoping that these people would hear, people who were confident in their own righteousness. Another version says people who were pleased with themselves and their moral performance, or who trusted in themselves. And that trusted in themselves or confident of their own righteousness, it's a word, it's a verb that's also used in Luke chapter 11, verses 21 and 22, where Jesus told another parable, this time of the strong man. I just want to read it quickly. Verse 21, it says, "When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up his plunder. Now here Jesus was talking about something slightly different. He was talking about division and allegiance, whether it was either to allegiance to themselves or allegiance to God. But that same word comes up, and it's the only two times in Luke where it's used, where the man trusted in his own defences, and that links to the verse that we were looking at, where they trusted in himself. And I believe that Luke was trying to show that Jesus was talking about how trusting in our own strength, whether that be our defences in keeping ourselves safe or our defences in keeping ourselves good, it's a flimsy defence. The Pharisee trusted in himself, and this trust in himself can be compared to this strong man's flimsy armour that looked strong, looked like he was defending himself, but when there was a stronger person that came in, and Jesus was talking about the enemy, when the enemy came in, that was a flimsy defence. To trust in our own righteousness or our own goodness is a flimsy defence. This Pharisee trusted in his actions and his behaviours as the basis, as the very foundation of his goodness. You know, it can be easy to judge him. We can kind of look at this story and go, that's crazy. Like, that's so arrogant to do that. But the Pharisee was thanking God for something that was true. He was a good man. He was an obedient man. He was a faithful man. He went above and beyond. He, in his fasting and his giving, he set himself apart. He was faithful and he was obedient in the eyes of himself and his own beliefs, but also in the eyes of others. And at this point in the story, I don't think the Pharisee was seen as a villain yet. All the people would have heard this story and go, yeah, he's a good man. He's a good man. He was not speaking falsely. He was just missing the true nature of his blessing. He was thinking that somehow along the way he'd got himself to that position of goodness. Somehow because of his choices or because of his obedience, he could now stand in this place of goodness. And Jesus made the connection being from this man being pleased with himself. He connected that with looking down on others. He thanked God that he wasn't like the other people, like the robbers and the evildoers and the adulterers. He thanked God that he wasn't like the tax collector. So here's our second character in this story, this tax collector. You know, the Roman taxation system of the day, it was horrible. It was corrupt. It was severe. And the Romans enlisted people to go around and collect the taxes off the people. And often they enlisted people, their own people, not Roman citizens, but Jewish citizens, to go around and to collect tax off their own people. And there was a general understanding that whatever tax they could collect that was over and above whatever their contracted amount was, they could pocket, they could keep. So there was a lot of greed and corruption and tax collectors were seen as dishonest and greedy and morally bankrupt at the expense of their own people. So at this point in the story, everyone's like, yeah, he's a bad person. Pharisee, he's a good person. Tax collector, he's a bad person. So in this parable then, for Jesus to go on and to portray a tax collector as someone with a moral conscience would have been so, so foreign to them. And yet here was a man who was praying before God, seeing the reality of who he was in that moment. He knew that there was no means of his own that he could claim his own righteousness. He had done nothing of merit. But here in prayer, before God, he threw himself on the mercy of the Lord. And it would have been scandalous for the crowd to then hear that this was the man that walked away justified. This was the man that walked away right with God. That would have been the moment where the gasps and the strange eyes and the looking at people would have happened. You know, it can, like I said, it can be really easy at first reading of this parable to judge the Pharisee. He was full of himself. He was arrogant. He's full of pride. And we in ourselves can say, thank you, God, that I'm not like that Pharisee. Who does that sound like in the story? Which one, the Pharisee or the tax collector? We can look at him and say, oh, thank you, God, that I'm not arrogant like he is. Thank you, God, that I'm not proud like he is. The truth is that we sometimes, maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but I'm hoping not, guessing not. Sometimes we can be more like the Pharisees than we want to give ourselves credit for. Whenever we fall into that temptation of dividing humanity up into different kinds of groups and we align ourselves with one of them, we're also aligning with the Pharisee. Are we with the good? Or with the bad? Are we with the desirable or the undesirable? The in or the out crowd? Now, have you ever found yourself looking at someone's circumstances or hearing about something that they go through and saying, I could never do that. I could never make that mistake. I just don't understand how that happened. Or I don't understand how somebody could think that. Or thank goodness I'm not like that. You know, thank goodness my kids aren't like those kids, or thank goodness my relationship is not like that relationship, or thank goodness my work situation is not like that work situation, or thank goodness that my behavior or my decisions are better than those person's behavior or decisions, or thank you, God, that I don't struggle with my finances as much as those people struggle with their finances, or I don't struggle with knowing who I am as a person, and that person doesn't seem to have a clue. Thank you, God. That's when we align ourselves with the Pharisee. When we start to say, God, I thank you for what is right with me, but I can see what's wrong with others. It can even sound really humble when we can say, you know, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be in their shoes. I've said that so many times. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be just like that. But God gave me a good kick up the pants and said, what's stopping my grace from being with them too? What is stopping my grace being with them too? It's very quiet in here, you okay? There is nothing wrong with being good. There is nothing wrong with working hard or being devoted or being faithful and being hardworking or having success or making good decisions. But we can be like the Pharisee when we start to begin to use those things as our defense, just like the strong man. We use those things as our defense, as our shield, as the thing that starts to make us worthy, as the thing that defines us as right before God. We can fall into the trap of thinking that our justification, our what is right with us, comes from what other people see as good in us. But Jesus said something else. He said in Luke chapter 16, verse 15, he said to them, and this was to the Pharisees this time, he said to them, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of others, but God knows your heart. What people value highly is detestable in God's sight. So these people who were justifying themselves by the goodness that other people saw in them, God's saying, that's not how you walk away right with me. The prayer of the Pharisee is a prayer of a person who was in no need of anyone or anything. You know, at the end of the parable, Jesus finishes by saying, those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted. And the problem is we all like being exalted. I'll just grab the band back up on stage. We all like being exalted. We like being told we've had a job well done, don't we? We like being told it's a job well done, or that we're doing the right thing, or that our duty is fulfilled. We can easily believe that the things that we are doing, our giving, our doing charitable things, our being upstanding citizens or making a well-deserved salary, all of those things, or even the things that we don't do, like what, you know, being thieves or robbers or adulterers, but put it in our own context. What are the things that we say, oh, I'm good because I don't do those things? Sometimes we can think that's what really justifies us before God, or might just make us a little bit better than other people around us. But how do we know? How do we know when in our prayer life, which then seeps out into our actions and into our behaviors, how do we know that we might be approaching God and living out our lives more aligned to the Pharisee than to the tax collector? And I ask the question, where are we putting up this armor of goodness or righteousness and to be our defense, to be our armor, and potentially holding other people in contempt? You know, it can be really hidden the way that we do it. It can be really subtle because I look out on this room and I don't see anyone who is as brazen as what the Pharisee was. I don't see anybody in this church getting up and saying, I'm so thankful that I'm not like the others. But every single one of us in our heart has moments where we want to put our goodness on display and we want to put an armor around, a defense around the things that we think are not so great. And a good way to get this, to show this up in ourselves is to ask ourselves, what am I afraid of people seeing in me? What am I afraid of people seeing in me? What does my armor of goodness hide that I don't want people to see in me? Do you have things in your life where you think, if people only knew that about me, they wouldn't like me or they wouldn't respect me, they wouldn't hold me in high regard, they wouldn't see me as good? Do you have roles or positions or characters that you play and that you hold on to in the hope to hold up this position of goodness, of righteousness? Because the image of this goodness that you might be afraid of losing, or where you feel like you might be being exposed, maybe the very place that where you're trying to fight with flimsy armor. Because what we often look down on in ourselves is what we look down on in others without even knowing it. Where we feel like we're going to be judged, we can often judge others without even knowing it. We make a divide between what is good and what is not good, what is in and what is out. I really feel that Jesus was making a point that said biblical humility is not about putting ourselves down or deflecting the praise, you know, like saying, oh, it wasn't me, it was all Jesus, you know. But it's about coming to God and seeing things for how they really are in our own life, and then embracing that reality with an assurance of God's mercy and of God's goodness, even when the world around us might not afford us the same grace. In that moment where the tax collector was standing there crying out to God, saying, have mercy on me, God, I'm a sinner, the world around him wasn't giving him that grace, but his eyes were on Jesus. His eyes were there saying, God, you are the only one that I care about right now. You are the only thing that I'm looking at right now. You are the only one that I can come with the reality of who I really am and the things that I really struggle with and the where I want to drop down my defense of flimsy armor and to come and to stand before you and know that I need you, God. I need your mercy. I need your forgiveness. I need your eyes upon me to pull me back up again. I wonder if we could just stand here in this room together. You know, this role of the tax collector, it's available to all of us. You, me, everyone in this room, people who are up in the parents' room, everyone watching online today, everyone around us. We are all sinners. And We are all beloved children of a very gracious and loving Father that no matter what it looks like on the outside, sees us for who we are on the inside, and He loves us still. God is inviting us here today to come in true humility. To come in true humility. And it might be for the first time in your life. It might be for the 1,000th time in your life. That's okay with God. It's an invitation to experience the freedom that comes from casting off that flimsy armor and saying, I'm not going to hide behind those defenses of goodness anymore, of portraying this goodness thing out to the world, but knowing on the inside that I just need to come to the mercy of the Father. He sees you. He's always seen you. He has been there the whole time. He has patiently waited. His Holy Spirit has been at work revealing in us what He has seen and what He has loved. And He just says, I desperately don't want you to hide anymore. The path to being right with Him is first to be real with Him in our prayer life, but in our whole life. He's just waiting for us to acknowledge that we need Him. You know those words of the tax collector, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And he walked away justified. He walked away right with God. Because it's in that place, when we come to that place of humility, that He will exalt us. He will lift us up. He will say, now you're getting it. It's this upside down. Pastor Ron talks about it all the time. This upside down, topsy-turvy kingdom that we live in. He says, now you're getting it. He will lift up our heads. He will give us a Holy Spirit to give us strength to walk a different path, not holding on to flimsy armor and trying to keep it all together all the time and portraying how great we are, but an armor that is formed by His hand, by His strength, by His grace. The band is going to sing a song that really talks about this whole passage, really. It's called Lord, I Need You. And I want to extend the invitation for you that during this song, if you just are ready to get rid of the flimsy armor and just get real before God, you don't have to say anything. This is between you and Him. But I'm actually going to invite you. I'm going to be standing on the altar myself, not to pray for people, but because I want to get real about this. That every day, this is something that is my heart to want to stand before God and say, God, I need you. I need you to be in my life. And so I want to invite you to join me there. I know there's the camera in the middle, but I invite you to come around the sides and fit in where you can. Remember social distancing and all of that. And I'm not going to pray necessarily for people here on the altar. I'll offer some prayer at the end if anyone would like it. But it's just an opportunity for you to come, to get rid of that flimsy armor, to come with a contrite heart, not a heart of contempt for others or even contempt for yourself. You know, sometimes I think we can hold that same contempt that the Pharisee had, and he had it towards the tax collector. We can hold it towards ourselves. And God's just saying, let it all go. Come in humility. If you don't want to rely or hide behind an armor of goodness anymore, but instead just want to honestly and openly come into the merciful hands of your loving Father, I'm just going to invite you during this song, just come and to join me at the front and just come before Him.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. We hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by searching C3 Church Camden.